we're talking about. The safer is, of course, about waking up. It's such a remarkable safer. And we're on the middle page. We're in the middle of page map test. Akitsa Ranana. Middle of map test.
What did we say about beginning with Ramchal? No, nothing. Is that something else?
That wasn't this year, right?
That's the same marker.
That's Arab Shabbos for cooking.
Oh, okay.
They're related. The middle of the page. Zayah Hecher Chagolus. Lahachnis is Hatorah. Lamoichin Dekat. This one of the terrible. A direct effect of Golas is Moichin Dekatnus, is to look at things in a very, very microscopic way. And of course, that affected our entire way of learning Torah. It became very microscopic. It became, first of all, very, very, almost completely text oriented. Not the forest, but the trees. Brilliant, Pilpulim, and so on. But the same way that each Jew was separated from each other Jew, that's Golas, that's what we were learning. The cells, right, being separated from each other instead of it being one whole organism. So too, each piece of Torah became a separate piece of Torah. All we've been learning the Shulis nights these past few years, the need of Prat, or Klau, Klali Sater, Rogachov, Avni Mezer, Lubavitcher Rebbe, and so on. Klali Sater, the bigger picture. So Moichin Dekatnus, a child sees each separate event of his life as his entire life. That's why they're always like excited, and because this is all he has, is this moment, and it's this episode of his life is takes over his whole life. We're old, so we already have zechaynus. Remember this, and they're thinking about that. But a child lives in that. He lives only in that prat. That's the nature of a child. And Golas, which is we're learning, is Moichin Dekatnus, is the Madregas HaPrat Levado. There was this descent into the Madregas HaPrat, into that piece of Torah. Kedei Lahachias to say Varm B'Socha Kever. And of course, this is B'Machashakim HaYishivani, but Lamaisa, this is what has kept us alive for all of the years of Golas, that in the misery of Golas that we were able to hide in our shuls and our communities, and we're able to connect to live in our Torah in such a way, and it's kept us alive. But we're alive, so to speak, with that little bit of life that's called Bechinas Havla de Germi, that trace of life, once the body is lowered into the grave. Who saw the Kosebecha Hishlich Mishamayim Eretz Tiferes Yisrael? Tiferes means the learning of Torah. And Hishlich Mishamayim Eretz, that Hashem cast down from heaven to Tiferes Yisrael, the splendor, the glory of the Jewish people, which is the study of Torah. There's a way of Limud HaTorah that's called Shamayim, and there's a way of Limud HaTorah that's called Eretz. They're both holy, but one without the other is not complete. So when there was Nevuah, and when Limud HaTorah was in that place of Klal, of everything, of the bigger picture of the forest, that's called Shemayim. Nevuah and Pnimius HaTorah and all the secrets of Torah, together with Halach and so on, the Hishlich Mishamayim Eretz Tiferes Yisrael, that Levan HaTorah lost that quality of Shemayim. It's all Torah Min HaShemayim, but it lost that broadness, that breitkeit, that bigness, and became Amish caught up in all of the protim, all the pilpulim of learning and so on. And without that bigger picture, Hishluch Mishamayim Eretz Tiferes Yisrael, Laharis Sha'afa Torah, Bechinas Tiferes Yisrael. The Chalban explains that even Torah, which is Tiferes Yisrael, which is our greatest pride, is the splendor and the glory of the Jewish people, is Limud HaTorah. Hushluchom Mimroimim Latachtios Eretz. It was thrown from the highest heavens all the way latachti ois eretz. The red is b'tzimtzum ra, and therefore the Torah would undergo in Golus also tremendous tzimtzum. Tremendous tzimtzum. A person could be thinking day and night about whether or not his tefillin are perfectly squared, which they have to be, but he doesn't think at all what the tefillin contain. He's not thinking about what about the tefillin sheberosh, but only the tefillin al harosh, but not the tefillin inside the head, and what the tefillin are, and why he's wearing tefillin. He could be checking the mirror, like a girl looking at her makeup. Every 2 minutes he's looking in the mirror to see if his tefillin is straight. But it's only the tefillin on the head, not the tefillin inside the head. That quality of Tiferes Yisrael, of the Torah that's a Shamayim, a Himmeldikah Torah, became very damaged. The girl listened, went into a place of Tzimtzum. It descended into the mouths of the Jewish people who are sitting in dark, the terrible darkness of the curse. Maharis is the curse of Golos. Yirida Zushal HaTorah. This Yirida of the Torah. I mean, Akadikach, that it says in Eicha, the Pasuk says such a scary thing. It says, Melacheha V'Sareha Bagoyim, that the kings and the noblemen of the Jewish people have been sent into Golos. Ein Torah. It says that in Eicha. In other words, the Torah of Geula, the Torah of Mashiach, the Torah of Beis HaMikdash, and then contrasted in contrast with the Torah of Golos. The Torah of Golos is called Keilot Ein Torah. Now we have thousands and thousands of Sorim, we have amazing things, but compared to the Torah that's the essence of Torah, this Torah of Golos is called Ein Torah. Lachav Yisrael Vagayim, Ein Torah. Such as the pasuk says, Ein Torah. There is no Torah. This Ein Torah has kept us alive for thousands of years. Ein Torah. But compared to what the Torah is, be'etzim, it's Ein Torah. And that's why you read the Zushal Torah to Tiferes Yisrael, Evshu Shehi, Hakeiv, Hagadol, B'yezah, Shalachur. Now, obviously, only people are really connected to learning Torah feel this terrible, terrible absence. Feel the symptom of Torah. I was talking to the guys last night that we had for Bregen in Brooklyn for the Alter Rebbe's yard site, and I was talking to the Chevra, and I said that, on the one hand, it's so wonderful that there's a new openness to finding out more about Tiferes Yisrael, about the Torah Sashamayim, that higher way of learning Torah. And that's wonderful. But on the other hand, it's so hard to constantly respond to questions about why is it necessary for a Jew to learn these things? Are you allowed to learn these things? Are you allowed to learn these things? And these questions are questions that it's a good sign that they're being asked, because they weren't even asked before. And they're being asked. So that's Baruch Hashem, it's a wonderful sign. But the same way that I was thinking about this last night, about how the Alter Rebbe was in such pain that when he was interrogated by the Russians, and he had to answer to the questions of these people about Pnimius HaTorah v'Chassidus, and they were asking him a million questions. We have a record of it. The questions that they were asking him about Chassidus, and that the Alter Rebbe had to talk to about what it means, what's Chassidus, what's Pnimius HaTorah, and so on. It's a terrible, terrible goal. It's a terrible symptom that we have to. Again, it's a good sign that people are wondering and asking. They never did before. The chalza is that we have to kilo try to justify the study of Pnimius HaTorah, to have to find a way of explaining that to people. As good as it is, it's also painful. It's painful that it's not, that it's not something which is so clear and so obvious. It's painful. This is part of the churban of Golos. Could be it's the most horrible and difficult pain of the churban. But Torah chigri sak. We find in the keenest of Tisha B'Av, you can read it one after the other. The Torah is dressed in clothing of mourning. Torah chigri sak. The Torah is like an avelus. The Torah is mourning. The Torah is an avelus. V'alea ne'amar be'echa, and it says also in Eicha, Nafla teres Hashem, the crown of our head has fallen. Nafla teres Hashem. He had Torah Agadolah, that's the big Torah. She'yarda imiridas Yisrael, that has descended with us into Golas. Kevin Shagoli Yisrael, Chazal say, Kevin Shagoli Yisrael, Ein lecha bittul Torah Golem Yizah. That because we've gone to Golas, there's no greater bittul Torah than being in Golas. And even though the Pashtonim, those who are not connected to the Torah Zagula, would say that all that means, what the Gemara is saying is just because we're in Golas, and we have to work a lot, and we don't have the peace of mind that we had when we were in Eretz Yisrael, and we had a Beis HaMikdash, because of that, there's great bittul Torah. There's a lot of time wasted from the study of Torah. But that explanation is a Golasdik explanation. The real, deeper explanation, the Pnimius explanation of the Gemara is that Ein Lecha Bittul Torah Golem Yizah is that it's not because we're more busy in Golas, because we're frightened of the Goyim and we have Tsaris. Although all of that is true. But Golas is Ein Lecha Bittul Torah Golem Yizah means that the etzem of that matzav of being in Golas is the biggest Bittul Torah. Not because we have less time to learn, even though that has been true through history, but it's not just that. It's qualitatively, not just the quantity, how much time, because in Golas we're busy with all kinds of service, so we don't have time to learn. It's the very fact that we're in Golas is Ein Lecha Bittul Torah Golem Yizah. It's the biggest Bittul HaTorah, because Nafla Teres Hashem, Teferes Yisrael. Teres Mashiach, Teres Agula, that bigger picture isn't Golas, is it? In the Kapos. Page Nun, MK. The Golas is Peranu L'Resisa. So we've seen that in Golas we've been crushed and broken into tiny little pieces. V'da'atenu it's Tamtzum HaMa'ayid, and our way of thinking has become very small, very constricted. It's shrinking, it's shrunken. Is that the right word, shrunken? Okay. V'soyd HaKapos. And we've become our nature in a very deep way. It's become ingrained in us to sense ourselves, to see ourselves as separate people and so on, communities, and each one to worry about his own spiritual state. The time has come. This ira to wake up, ulahagdil da'atenu, to expand our way of thinking, la'archiva, to broaden it, l'madregas meichin de godless. We're seeing this now. To a madreg of meichin de godless. Meichin shel ha'geula. The meichin of redemption. The meichin of redemption. You know, there are many people that were and are very much opposed to the establishment of a state of Israel before Mashiach comes. That's no secret to anybody. There are many, many who are against it. And there are great tzaddikim, very great tzaddikim. There are others who are very excited and were very much in favor of it then and now, right? 1948 and now. Well, there are many in 1948 who expressed a lot of excitement, but then it became less politically correct over the years. But yesh v'yesh, and elu v'elu, yofi. Jews like this and Jews like that, the world tzaddikim, we're all fine Jews. But one thing that even the other side, I think, the side that is the anti-Medinas Yisrael side, would have to acknowledge that even though they hold that it's terrible, it's holding back Mashiach, it's, you know, all that stuff. And there's plenty of support that's found in the Svarim for such a Mahalach, even though they hold that way. But they would also have to agree that as a result of the establishment of the state, whether you're excited about that and celebrating, or whether you're sitting shiva over that. The metzius is that the dialogue of Am Yisrael has been taken to another place of discussing the entirety of the people. Even if it's against that. But it's not just about what's happening in my shul, or what's happening in my shtetl, right? It's gone somewhere else. And every single Jew in the world, even if you're the biggest misnagid, you know, to halal on Yom HaTzmut, every single Jew feels a Jew when a soldier is hurt, that God should be killed. Everybody, nobody's arguing about that. Everybody's in pain over that, and everybody feels threatened when our enemies are standing over us, God forbid, in Eretz Yisrael, and we're feeling things more as a people, as opposed to my shtetl, you know, my kehila. So, for or against, it's become bigger. Things have become much bigger than they used to be. There's something about that metzias, whether you like it or you don't like it, but the metzias of a Jewish state, that, and it's just so, again, for or against, that's not what I'm talking about, but that metzias has changed the conversation. It's changed. It's taken to a place where Jews have on their minds a much bigger picture. And are arguing and fighting. We always do that, but we're arguing and fighting over something much bigger. And whether the mikveh is hot or cold, you understand? It's a much bigger topic. The topic of Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael and Medinas Yisrael, regardless of which side you're on, is a topic of that's much bigger than the old conversations. And it's an inyan of already meichin the godless. It's a meichin the godless that's been brought out as we get closer to the end. Moichin shel ha-geula. The conversations are about geula. So these are screaming, no, this is not aschal to the geula. This is not the beginning of redemption. God never intended this to be the beginning of redemption in such a way. And the Medina is run by a bunch of kaifim and apikarsim and rishayim. And it can't be that that's not what the Nevi'im were talking about. And we have to raise kriya over the Medina and this, all of that stuff. But what's he screaming about? He's screaming about Ahav Aminu. Ahav Aminu is also a day. He's screaming about Ahav Aminu. He doesn't like this Ahav Aminu, this sweet Jew in Meir Shalom or in Williamsburg, right, or Monroe. But he's screaming because the Indian is a hot topic. It's a hot topic. It's Omed al Perek, the Indian of Mashiach, the Indian of Gula. It wasn't like that for a long time. There wasn't anything to talk about. What the Jews fight about? They always have what they fight about. But it went to a different level when this whole subject of the Medina, already at the beginning, at the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, my father said that what was going on, like if you went onto a train with other, you know, there were other Jews on the train. So this one's a Zionist, this one's a Bundist, this one's a Hasid. He said, well, you know, you get such headaches. He says, my father said, the Goyim would just sit there and read a newspaper. And Jews are yelling and fighting with each other, you know, about what's happening. And it's just, my father remembers this from the 1920s. But they were fighting and yelling about with each other. About, yes, a Medina, not a Medina. It's hard to believe. We're talking about the time of the Balfour Declaration. Oh, Hashem, that's how old he is. And that's what they were yelling about. That's what they were yelling about. It was Los Angeles 2 weeks ago, and I went to the mikveh there. And there was a very, very sweet Lubavitcher Chassid. That's why I mentioned that the mikveh, how to call it, I was sitting. So he was collecting the money. So Nebuch, the mikveh, the heat wasn't on. It was freezing cold mikveh. And every single guy that went to him said to him, like a vart, like, what kind of thing is this? The mikveh? You want, you're taking the money, but the mikveh's cold. And he was like such a like a Balmidas. And it was my turn to criticize him. But I didn't say it like that. Right? So the guy was mom was like beaten up by everybody. Like that's like the worst thing in the world. Like that could happen to a man is at the mikveh's cold. So I was leaving, you know, and he's sitting there, this Lubavitch by the door. So I felt so bad for him. So I said, look, sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes the mikveh doesn't work. You know, the heating doesn't work. So, okay. So don't. So he said, no, I forgot to turn it on. It's such a tzaddik. You didn't have to tell me that. I was trying to be mamashus because there were other people standing around. I said, I wanted to say, like, you know, like, okay, it didn't go on. It didn't work. It's not working. So what? And he said, no, they're right. I forgot to turn on the heat. You're supposed to come in earlier and turn on the heat. So this is like the hot topic, a cold topic in Los Angeles, Erev Shabbos Parshas Vayechi, because this poor guy, you know, with the heat and the mikveh and everybody's like giving this guy a mishaberach. It's like, so I was thinking, so we just all toiled in the mikveh, you know, and everybody's toiling and everybody's screaming, and they're coming out from the mikveh, and you just toiled and you got to take this guy and like kill him right after the mikveh. But this is a Meichen de Katniss that we're in such a place of Meichen de Katniss. Meichen de Katniss. Meichen Shel Hagula is something else. Shem Meichen Rechavim Ma'od. In the Meichen of Gula, it's possible that even though your mikveh was cold, that the life is still good. There's still good things, there's still good things to live for and to be happy, even though the mikveh was cold. Lahargish is Chaya Shechina. To be a Jew that feels the life, that the Shechina is alive, the Ha'am Kulai, and you feel a connection to the entire Jewish people, Ha'am Kulai. Laharchiv la'achil b'sachleinu ma'ashechutz midalat amaseinu. To expand our minds, to contain within our minds things that are michutz from our dalat amas, that are outside of my dalat amas. B'shal b'nei mishpachesem. You have people that all they talk about is their family. All they talk about the family, they're people that you have to run away from because, you know, if you say, how's everybody? They right away start taking out pictures on the phone. And I didn't mean like, you know, I wanted just like a general statement of Baruch Hashem. And you know, I have this, you know, and since I'm this malacha, being a rabbi, so I get like everybody wants to say, oh, did you see how Shani is doing, and Ellie is doing, and Baruch is doing, and Shmintz is doing? And then start taking the phone. It used to be you had to have at least the pictures, and it was harder to get to, and now everybody has the phone there and have to stand there all the time looking at this lady's granddaughter or something. What do you think? I think she's gewaldig. Never saw such a beautiful child in my life. And it was commotion, the cuttings. And all they talk about is their children and grandchildren, what I did for this one, what I went to, and what we did, and we went out. And it's all sweet, it's beautiful. And halavai, everybody should have simcha, nachas, and brach. But it's cut. There's such a cutness. I don't know. This probably doesn't sound so nice. I don't mean it in a bad way because it's a beautiful thing. But like to be a bigger person, you know, you never would have heard from Rav Moshe Feinstein, come, I have to show you my grandchildren's pictures. You show it to each other in the family. Talking all the time about your kids and your grandchildren, you know, other people. If it's your best friend and you share it with each other, but it's time to talk to people about your children. The Jews, that every single time you talk to them, that's all they start with. And everything you say to them, they start talking about. They're in Yonim. They're in Yonim. There's nothing else in the world except that family and that those Dalet Amas. It's sad. The Meichen of Katniss. But Halavai should only be by Simchas, but it's a Meichen of Katniss. It's a Meichen of Katniss. Ulam Kasha Ma'od Lot says, Me Meichen Eilu Magdilam. It's very hard to get out of Meichen de Katniss and to go into a place of Meichen de Gadlus. If your whole life you're in a place of Katniss, it's very hard. Now, the Jewish people have been for thousands of years in Meichen de Katniss. Again, there are tzaddikim, but the Hamayin Am has lived in Meichen de Katniss for a long time, just trying to survive. It's very hard to make a Meichen de Katniss bigger. Even Meshech, because suffering can make you very small and suffering can make you very big. Some people came very small from their suffering. And other people came very, very big from their suffering. They feel the pain of other people. And they think of other people. Even Meshech, Meos, Bishanam, Hushu, Shubanu, Hamoichen, Shalagolos, Hamoich, Moi, because it's been for so many years that the Moichen of Golos has become so deeply entrenched in us. The Kosher, Moi, Lasalkum, like this, it's very hard to get rid of that and to expand, to make bigger. That when a person is reading a sefer, and he looks in a sefer and he sees in that sefer mishpatei emes, like some sentences of emes, meaning of deeper Torah, hashayochem legadlus demaychem, sentences that are from the world of gadlus demaychem, of maychem the gadlus, kedugmas. When a person reads this sentence, Kol Yisrael Heim Neshama Achas, the Guf HaMuchulak, that the entire Jewish people is one soul with separate bodies. So now, if you say that sentence, that Kol Yisraelim Neshama Achas V'Gufim Chalakim, if you say that sentence to one person, this person will go into a whole thing. What do you mean by that? What do you mean that it's Neshama Achas? What does that mean in Neshama Achas? It's a legitimate question, but to the person that sounds like Chinese, what do you mean that the Neshama Achas? Every person has a separate Neshama. Each person is a separate. This is Maisha, this is Sarah. Every person is separate. What does that mean? Neshama Achas v'guf mechalak. The entire Jewish people in Neshama Achas. To one person, when he reads those words, it's a foreign language. So what happens? He mitzdayrim b'tzura ra'yonis nihudis. So he talks about it in learning. What's the svar? What does it mean? What's the concept? But ain't a move on to the emes. But there's no feeling for that. It's just an idea. It's pretty words, nice words. Gufim mechulakim neshamachas. What does that mean? What does it mean in neshama? How could it be that gufim mechulakim have neshamachas? Because he thinks about a Jew the same way you think about a piece of cake, that there are pieces and that's it. You can't have here and here. It's a piece of cake. That's it. You have a big cake. You cut it into 8 pieces in Gandhi. So that whole way of thinking that if you tell somebody, for instance, you should know that what you have right here in this world, the neshama in the guf, that's only a very tiny part of who you are. The biggest part of your neshama is in Shemayim. So that person starts to think about like pizza or cake. The bigger piece of my neshama is in Shemayim. What are you saying? You're saying this is not me? Yeah, it's not. This is not you. It's just a light, little tiny. So, but he thinks of it like geometrically. He thinks of it mathematically. And I mean, you can't explain. Because I had last night I was talking over there with the Fabreng about the Indian of the Alter Rebbe. This whole Indian of the Alter Rebbe is Yichud. Right? Yichud. Hashem looking at Hashem Echad. Yichud Yilo, Yichud Atoy. Echad. That's the whole thing that Alter Rebbe, all he ever spoke about was Echad. And after the whole thing, so Ayid came over to me, a very, very wonderful person. He said to me, what do you mean, Echad? What does that mean, Yichud? Which is about kosher to know. And again, that's progress. He came and he wants to know. And I spoke to him a little bit about it, but it's a foreign concept. Because I didn't see that in the Gemara. What do you mean by that? What is it? What are you saying? What do you mean that the Baal Tanya was that type of a person that, you know, Yodei Shemecha? What does that mean? That he was a person that his whole life was about Echad? What does it mean that he did? What did he make into one? What was he making into one? So he's thinking like geometrically, and in geometry, there's A and there's B, and they're two separate mitzvahs. And then you try to bring them together in the formula, A plus B, whatever equals C, and or in geometry and algebra, and you're trying to make it into something to see either a triangle or a square or a hypotenuse, I don't remember what that was. And you try, and you see this thing in your head, but you can't talk about neshama achas, It's either there's a slice of pizza because the pizza has 8 slices, or it's a different pizza. No, but it can't be. Neshama achas and gufim mechulakim. What does that mean? So it's because each slice of the pizza has the same taste as the other slice. But it's all geometry. It's all mathematical. It's not with a chush of neshama. It's not the diburim of a Jew of shechina and yichud Hashem, which is something which is hard to explain. It's not, it's impossible to explain. That's why it's just by way of chizik to everybody. Very often you're learning the Svarim HaKadoshim. Everybody here learns the Svarim HaKadoshim. When you learn the Svarim, you read things and you say, oh, I don't know what that's talking about. I don't know what that means. You shouldn't, however, as a result of that, I mean, you should learn something that's kafi, you know, that's within, hopefully within your kaiches to learn, but even if you're taking a sefer that's more widely learned, and you're learning a piece, and you don't know what the tzaddik's talking about, That doesn't mean you should stop learning it. Look, understand whatever you understand, but say it over and say it over loud and with simcha. Because when you learn these things, like you see by the Svarim, they say Zohar Kodesh for hours. They consider Zohar Kodesh. I used to years ago. I lived near the Bukharim, and you pass by the shul by the Bukharim, and you hear them simple Jews singing Zohar Kodesh. They sit for hours. They can say Zohar Kodesh. They sang the Zohar Kodesh. And that even if you say the words and you don't know what they mean, you're already being brought into a place of godliness. The words have such an ability to bring you into a place of godliness. When you're learning Rav Kook, so you get like one out of every three words or something, right? It's hard. V'chol zayis, one shouldn't stop. Of course, you try to understand, you do the best you can. But you say the words, is mamish, moichin the godliness. It takes you to a different place. You become a different person, even if you don't know what the words mean. You become a different person. You say Zohar Kodesh, you say from the Surah Akadashim, mamish. You shouldn't have a chalish zadas if you don't know everything what it's talking about. It still brings you into something much bigger than not saying it. So he says, you meet these, he says, yeah, hey, mitzvah b'tzura v'ayonis nimu. This, the person sees this sentence. We're supposed to think about it. In hashkofe, in machshove, some idea, some concept. V'enu muvon be'emes. Without truly understanding be'emes what it is. And Kalvachomer, certainly, this doesn't become engraved in them as a certain way of a tfisas achaim, a way of grasping life, a feeling life, to feel that every single one of us is a neshama achas. Every Jew is a neshama achas, with guf and mechalakim, a neshama achas. Achaim ha'atzmis shalom adam. You don't feel it. It's something which is, you learn it and you say it, but you don't feel it. All of this is the result of the sovereignty, the authority that Moichin the Katnis has when we're in Golos. Shadayin Noisu Von Meha Golos, that remains within us from the years of Golos. And we have to wake up. We have to try to get out of this. The time has come to get out of this. If you have Kol Rayon Makif V'Omek, Hashayach L'Eza Golos. Therefore, any great idea, a great makif, an idea that's a very, very big, big, encompassing, overarching idea, and there's hashayach leis hagadlus, eno be'emes niklat b'mayach hakadlus. It's not being absorbed in a mayach in the katnus. I remember years ago, there was a friend of mine. And we were standing, that's when I lived in Farakway, and we were standing together on Beach 9th Street in front of his house, and then we were talking about something, and he had a neighbor that wasn't Jewish. By now I think everybody there is Jewish on Beach 9th, at least that part of it, but in those years not. And he said, "You guys mind if I ask you a question?" I said, "Okay." He said, I've been reading about this thing that you have. It's called an Eruv, because at that time there was a whole Talmud about the Eruv. Can you explain what that is? So my friend Shmuel, so he goes into a whole thing, like about the different domains that we have. He starts to tell him about it, Shusar Rav, Shusar Yochid, and he says how we try to take the public domain and to transform it into a private domain. And I'm thinking like, oh. He's given us this whole thing for like 15 minutes. He's giving like a real good explanation, like an introduction to Hilchus Eruv for this guy. And after he finishes this thing, so the guy says, "You got one of these you could show me?" That's what he said. So this one's we can't carry that around. It was just, he was trying to explain like the streets and the neighborhood, and all the guy came up with was, "Maybe you have one of these you could show me?" It's a different language. You're going to take an Eruv and put it into this Moichin the Katnis in this thing. So, Moichin the Katnis, you can take a whole Eruv and put it into a Moichin the Katnis. It's not just the guy on the block, the Gentile on the block. You have a person that his whole metzias depends upon, like, you know, whether the Baltula went an extra 5 minutes or not or something. Like, his whole metzias. You know, the cottonists, they'll be living such cottonists. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. And it's very hard for Moichin the cottonists to absorb, you know, the whole Erev from Farako in the Five Towns. You put into a small Moichin, doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. There are people in whose minds big things, big concepts, not because they're not intelligent. It's not about intelligence. These can be very high IQ, not intelligence. So Moichin the cottonists has nothing to do with your score on the IQ or SATs or anything like that. It can be very, very intelligent. But it's a cottonist. And you can't, and bigger picture, bigger ideas. Like when one of the tzaddikim, I forgot who it was right now, one of the tzaddikim that happened that he got the news that the two of his children, he just got the news in the Muhammad, that two of his children were killed. And he was mechazik himself and so on, and the people couldn't believe how strong he was. The Piazessna said a similar sentence, but this was a different person, different tzaddik. And he said, by me it's not good, but Am Yisrael is like Am Yisrael Chai. The Jewish people is just, that's a very big way of looking at things. A regular person, when it's your kids, like that's your whole world, and you're finished. You just, everything falls apart. But his opinion was that Am Yisrael, such a thing called Am Yisrael. He didn't say the words Am Yisrael Chai. That was a song that became popular many years after that. But it's not a pasuk. But that's what he was saying. He was saying that Am Yisrael Lapnach, they're still a Jewish people. They're still a Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishak. They're still an Am Yisrael. To mean, you know, you can't fake it like that. It's right after his kids were killed, and to say such a thing, and to feel it, and to be able to get up and to besimcha. Such a way of thinking you can't fit into a moich of katnus, into a small moich, and you can't fit like a big idea like that. You can't fit into a moich of katnus. And the guy's a genius. He's a smart person, but it's katnus. And you can't put in such a big idea into such a small mind. Like they say once, I read in the Sefer once, there was a funny thing that there was an American Jew, a tourist that was in Mea Sharm, and he was in Mea Sharm visiting, and with a camera, and he was taking pictures. And one of the kids from Mea Sharm went over to him and asked him, "Where's that kapu? Where's your yarmulke?" So the guy said to the kid, this man wasn't wearing a yarmulke. So for those kids, like, what's going on? So the man said, he says, the sky is my yarmulke. That's what the guy answered. So the kid said to him, "Is that Kleine Kapel, such a small head, needs such a big yarmulke?" I said, "Such a small head needs such a big yarmulke. Is that Kleine Kapel, does that grace a kapel?" You understand? Such a big yarmulke for such a small head. It doesn't have to do with intelligence. It gives you a big mind. But Kleine Kapel. Kleine Kapel. I remember sometimes we were growing up, so then, like, there would be conversations at the time. My father hardly spoke, you know, maybe because he couldn't get a word in if he wanted to. But my father hardly spoke. And then, you know, every now and then a little bit of word here, word there. And whenever he said something, everybody just stopped and they just, that was like the end of the Indian. But every now and then he would give a krech and say, like, Kleine Kapel, Kleine Kapel, like, Kleine Kapel. Which I thought when I was a kid meant this is like stupid, ridiculous conversation. But he was saying Kleine Kapler, like, we talk about bigger things. So I also say this by my Shabbos table. So it's not with as much authenticity as my father used to say. That when there's stuff, conversations are going into about this one and about that one, and I know this one, and this one was engaged to that one, they broke off the engagement. Did you hear Nebuch, Nebuch? Everybody always says Nebuch, you know that? Nebuch. Nebuch, Nebuch, Nebuch. It's such a big Nebuch. Why do you enjoy talking about it so much? Nebuch, Nebuch, Nebuch. Everything is Nebuch. They say, "Oh, Kleine Kapel, must speak, must speak." Kleine Kapel. It's a Meichen, de Katnis. You're a very, very smart person, but Meichen, so all these things with these sites, with these things that they have for Simchas, all this kleine kapel, besides the fact that it's not Sanu, all these things, that you show yourself onto things for other people, it's such kleine kapel. You know, and now dealing with a couple, they live in Eretz Yisrael, that they're going to get divorced over Instagram. I don't even know what Instagram is exactly. I just understand that the wife is putting herself very much out there, right? That's what happens on Instagram. I don't know how it's different from Facebook or whatever, but she's making herself like known her life to a lot of people, and the husband has been begging her to stop this. And she's very angry about it, and they're getting to huge fights over this Instagram thing. And the husband is saying, I'm not comfortable with my wife being like this, you know, out there. And she, Bechlel, doesn't get it. And I'm trying to talk to her a little bit about means to be tsanua, and to hurt sneas means what does it bother them? I'm wearing good sleeves, I'm wearing a good skirt, so what's the need of? So how do you explain that? A person's place of katness, they don't see that Instagram or Facebook, that it's the ovi ovis of merchant the katness. The ovi ovis of merchant the katness. You spend your whole life in Narishkeit. Merchant the katness, talking about your life. And showing yourself on pictures to other people, and talking about what's on your in yonim with other people, it's the biggest moichin de kavnis that you could ever such a moichin de kavnis to live that way. With the telephone all the time, the twittering, all these things, it's all like the malchus of moichin de kavnis. I'm not even talking about whether it's clean or it's not clean. I'm just talking about. It's mamish. It's the malchus of that klipa of moichin de kavnis, of moichin de golus. To spend your whole time on talking about the inyanim, they're not here or there, not a gay or this person or that person. To being also contorted with other people's inyanim and looking to see, you know, what other people are Isaac and such a malchus of moichin de kavnis. I don't know if you disagree with me? Tell me if you disagree. I don't know. I don't want to lecture. I mean, you understand this? Do you feel that there's a moichin de katnis? Well, you don't have the phone. So you feel moichin de katnis. A moichin de katnis. It's a pachet. This I feel is the most upsetting thing. That it's a katnis. It's such a silly world, such a small world to live in. What are you sitting and thinking about her cholent and about his interview or something? What's the matter with you? Why aren't you learning kuzri or talking about something? What are you doing like that? What are you Isaac and these inyanim so much? I mean, for work you have to do things, obviously. You have to go back and forth. That's what work is about. But when a person has a little bit of time and they're off from work and they spend the whole time and they're worried if they have to be on there, they're going to miss something. What's it called? FOMO, fear of missing out. Fear of missing out. Missing out what? Fear of missing out. And I can't even talk. You talk to teenagers about this. They roll their eyes and they look like you're a madman. What's the inyan of Facebook? Facebook. Why does a person need Facebook? I don't know the difference between, what's the difference between Instagram and Facebook?
Instagram is just pictures.
Oh, you can't write on it.
You can. Yeah.
So, but it goes out to people you have on your list, right? So there are people that have hundreds of people on their list. And they put a picture of themselves, like with their husband, you know, in Miami Beach, you know, posing with a dead dolphin or something, right? and they put it there, and then hundreds of people looking at this picture of them. Husband and wife on vacation. Do you think of a bigger moichin de katnis? And the scariest thing is that there are hundreds of people that go on to look at it. And then they talk about it later on. Did you see that they were with a dolphin today? And such things that are that not such moichin de katnis. It's crazy. And Hashem was going to ask us about how we were sinking into such silliness, into such smallness. But this is the outcome, or This is the svichim of Golus, of what happened to us in Golus. The side of being asleep. That's what Golus is. We learned from the beginning of the Sefer, being asleep. Is moichin the katnis? Is this moichin of smallness? Moichin ha-golus, shem moichin shel katna, masuga v'maisim shel. It's the moichin of a child that's masuga, that's closed up in his own world. So I was mentioning the other day in a shiur that I think I was talking about it here, I don't remember here or someplace else, but that I think maybe in Arab Shabbat I spoke about it a little bit, that you remember we were talking about how, what does a baby see everything as? A baby looks at every single thing in the world as food, right? We're talking about that. Everything in the world is food. Maybe this year, last year.
Yeah, no, it's right. Yeah, it's right.
So everything, but and as adults, we laugh at that. But that's when they're children. They think everything else is food. And then he wakes up and he's old. He says, that's ridiculous. It's not about food. It's about toys. It's not about toys. And it's about girls and boys. And it's about this. It's about that. It's about money. But it's each stage along the way, all of life becomes imprisoned in that small thing. That's called sleep. And for Gula, the Baruch Hu wants us now to wake up from this sleep, this deep sleep, and to accept the Gula that Hashem is reaching out to us. Mam is stretching out his hand and he's giving us Moichin of Gula. So next week we're going to begin to learn about this Moichin of Gula.